Hey, what's up, everyone? I'm Sarah.
I'm Liz.
And this is the It's Fine, I'm Fine podcast. Hey.
Hello. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday.
We hope your days are going swimmingly.
Swimmingly.
This is episode 20.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's really crazy.
Oh my gosh. I cannot believe, like, all this talk about 2020 and the new year and, like, reflecting on the last year has really in my feels about this podcast because, I don't know if that was English, has really in my feels, has really...
Really has you in your
has
feels.
Has me in my feels. Because, like, we did it and we're doing it. And, like, sometimes it can feel like, is this even impacting anyone? Like, is this even making a mark? And then... You know, you just get one message of someone being like, hey, loved the episode today. Like, thanks a lot. And you're just like, okay, like, I think this is, we're doing something good here.
Absolutely.
And so reflecting on 2019 really had me in my feels.
I completely agree. I actually, usually the new year stuff, like resolutions, 2020 energy annoys me. But this year I'm like finding myself being more motivated by it, which I think is really good. Of course, I'm sure like sometimes it will annoy me, but my point is just, I'm feeling that. I'm feeling like the new year, new energy, 2020 is going to be great. And there will be challenges, but I feel like I'm gonna learn from them.
Yes, I was in a yoga class the other day and the intention for class that the teacher set was today, like, instead of looking at 2020 as like, what can you change and like, how are you going to be a new person, she was like, I encourage you to look at 2019 and see what you've accomplished and just be grateful for, you know, what you have done as opposed to what you don't have and what you want.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's a good way to like grow based off of what you've already been able to do instead of trying to challenge yourself with something completely new and ending up like falling on your face because you don't know how to do it and you don't feel confident in yourself to do it. So that's great.
Yeah.
Do you want to do peek and pit?
Sure. Do you want to start?
I can start. My pit was like small, but it was representative of something bigger. Today I was at Trader Joe's, which can be a pit because it's Sunday, but I was in line and the person behind me kept like pushing their cart into my leg because, you know, like sometimes it's crowded, you can't see, and normally that like wouldn't be a pit, but it really made me realize that something I have a really hard time doing is like confronting people when they're doing something wrong. Like he did it twice. And then I like turned around to kind of show that he was hitting my leg and he was like, oh, I'm so sorry. He was British. And
so sorry.
And then he did it again harder.
What?
And I didn't. And he knew he did it. So he was like, oh, sorry. But I really should have turned around and been like, excuse me, like, can you please be more careful? Because he did it to the point where like it scraped me. And it's not like that in and of itself. I'm fine. I don't even have like a scrape on my leg, but it just made me realize like I really have a hard time, you know, like standing up for myself, especially against men. And yeah, it's just something that I wanted to work on. So it wasn't super Pittsville, but it was just like a moment where I was like, that's not cool. And I don't like being taken advantage of, but I just have a hard time speaking up. My peak was yesterday. I was getting ready to go out. And my boyfriend was in New York, but he was like already with his friends. And I think like 95% of the time I'm anxious, like the level of anxiety changes. But yesterday I was cognizant during that time when I was getting ready that it was the first time that I can remember not feeling anxious. Like I was getting ready to go meet people, which can cause anxiety. Like I'm going to be late. I'm going to be too early. I'm not going to look good. And I literally was just like taking my time, getting ready, lit a candle, did my makeup, and just felt like so at peace. And I think that those things should be recognized more. And I was also proud of myself for like, I wrote a little note to like commemorate that I felt really good.
That's great.
But it just, I mean, it's kind of sad because I did realize like I feel anxious and like tense like most of my day. And I was happy that like last night I just felt like I was at a normal speed. No one was speeding. No one was rushing me. And I was just like chilling. So that was really cool.
That's awesome.
Thanks.
It's nice, even though it might not be comforting to realize like you might be anxious a lot of the time, it's nice to have little moments where you can reflect and be like, wow, like even though I feel this way a lot right now, I don't. And that shows like progress.
Yeah.
And that also shows it's like when you go through tough times, it makes the good times feel even better.
Yeah.
So it's like someone who might not be anxious all the time would have probably not thought twice about what happened, but you're able to sit there and like really appreciate the moment. And that's nice. It probably felt even nicer because you're like, I'm not anxious right now and this feels really good.
Exactly. I was able to take a small moment and feel really positively about it because I've had issues with it in the past.
And nothing like major even happened, but it was a peak for you, which is like amazing.
Yeah, agreed.
So my pit of the week, I would just say in general, it was my first full week back at work.
Yeah. After the holiday.
And it kind of got me thinking, like, am I doing what I want to be doing? Mm. You know, I had one of those weeks where I'm like, is this the right career choice for me? So I'm just going through. I think a lot of people feel that way at one point or another. Like, is this what I want to be doing?
Yeah.
I know not everyone feels that way. And some people are blessed to love their jobs. But, you know, I'm not one of those people. So, yeah, I have just been struggling a little bit with that. But my peak of the week was that on Friday night, I had a very nice reunion dinner with, I'd say, five of my close friends from childhood. We literally grew up together. One of my friends, Josh, hosted the dinner, and it was in Brooklyn, and I was like, it's so far. And then, like, went to Brooklyn, and it was beautiful. He had, like, a beautiful dinner set up, and him and our other friend, Erica, had cooked the whole thing. And we had an amazing time and we reminisced and it was just as if nothing had ever changed, even though, like, I would say the six of us haven't been together for a good time together in like 5 years at least. Mm-hmm. It was just really special. And like, it just reminded me that like some friendships never change no matter how long you go without seeing each other. And it was just a really nice night, you know?
I love that. And I think a lot of the time we put too much pressure on ourselves to like accommodate other people. And while I think that's great and you need to put work into friendships and relationships, sometimes it's really nice to have friends who you know that like if you neglect to call them for a little while, mm-hmm. like they're not going to judge you or hate you because they might do the same thing during a different time period. Mm-hmm. And I do think those friendships are really important because as much as it is important to like be a good friend and be there for people, it's also okay to not want to like constantly be working for a friendship. And I think more people should like appreciate those types of friendships.
I completely agree. And that's really
that's how you feel about them.
That is really who these people are. It's like I haven't spoken to some of them in years. And I walk through the door and we're like hugging as if I saw them yesterday. And we're just like, how are you? Tell me everything. Like, what do you do? Whatever. So very special, very nice. And very happy about that.
Great.
So our topic today is one that I feel as though many people will resonate with.
Yes.
And it's the topic of crying and tears.
I love that. You could say I'm the CEO of tears, of crying, which is a TikTok reference. If you're not on
this
TikTok,
this is for Rachel. You,
but yeah. So I think this topic is like a little different, but I really like it. And I think even though similar to my pit of the week, like it seems like a small part of life, but it is so representative of like a lot of different things. And mm-hmm. so I'm glad that we're talking about it. Mm-hmm. What inspired you to like want to talk about this? Do you want to talk about it on the
pod? Sure. So. I'm going to just quickly talk about my experience with crying, and I think that will help explain it a little more. When I was growing up, like I used to cry anytime I got into the smallest fight with my family. It was as if it wasn't an active choice for me. It was just something that happened as a result of a fight, like almost like I couldn't even help but the tears would just come out. Mm-hmm. And it happened so often that I was like, known in my family as this big like crybaby. And I was like that for a really long time. Like anytime something upset me in the slightest, like the tears just came out. And then I eventually went on medication when I was in college and it completely stopped like all tear ducts from forming. Like I didn't cry for like months at a time. And I never really like released emotion in that way. I guess I like was going to therapy and there were times where I would tear up, but never like full blown cries. And then this year I went off of medication and I've been kind of struggling with like crying because I don't cry at all really anymore. Sorry, that's a lie. I don't cry as much as I used to anymore. I definitely have started crying a little bit more since I've gone off the meds, but I just have a weird relationship with crying. And this weekend, today actually, we're recording on a Sunday, I got into a really long discussion with my mom, and I think it's specifically when it comes to my family and conversations I have with my family that really like triggers my my cries.
Yeah.
And so I ended up crying for like a solid hour and a half today when I was FaceTiming with my mom. And it wasn't even necessarily something she said or did. It was just like a lot of like old emotions coming up. And yeah.
I think it sounds like it's sort of a conditioned response, which we talked totally. A little bit about, like, you're not even necessarily crying because something is really upsetting you, but because when you were a kid, you used to cry a lot when things triggered you in your home. And so now when you are speaking to your parents who you grew up with, obviously it can trigger a crying response, like, mm-hmm. which can make things really challenging because you're trying to communicate and you may logically in your brain know and understand where they're coming from, and where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. But this like conditioned response yeah. trains you to cry. And then so the whole conversation is changed
exactly.
because like of your emotion coming up,
yeah.
Which I think it's important. I kind of want to like segue into the negative aspects of crying and like why it's maybe not good to cry
right.
because I do have so many positive things to say about it. And I think it's better to like end the episode that way.
Yeah.
But like something that I've experienced, especially as a woman, is like not being taken seriously because I'm crying. Mm-hmm. And I do think on one side, that's something that I tried to work on because I don't think that it's effective to always cry when I'm having a tough conversation. And I do think that that's something that like we can be more, you know, we can try to train ourselves to not do it as much. But then on the flip side, I think it requires a little bit from like not just men, but society mm-hmm. to like understand that just because someone's crying doesn't make them like more sensitive and more emotional,
weak.
Like
yeah.
weak, like, or even if it does make them more emotional, that doesn't make them weak.
Exactly.
Like it doesn't make you weak to be upset about something. And then your point is moot because you right. can't
like handle it.
Say it. Yeah. Right.
Like I don't want to feel like just because I'm crying, it doesn't mean I can't like do a job
right.
or like handle a situation. Like this is just how I'm expressing how I'm feeling.
Totally.
Just because you're expressing it differently doesn't mean I can't handle it as well as you can.
Totally. And I do think that's one part of it. So part of it is like society learning yeah. to deal with it, but also us internally. Maybe, you know, there's always those commercials with women who are like going to ask for a raise and they're like training themselves in the mirror. You know, it's something that we can stand to maybe work. I mean, I think I should stand to work on it a little bit because it can be challenging to have a mm-hmm. serious conversation if I start crying. And
totally.
I wouldn't even necessarily place blame on the person I'm talking to for feeling a little bit uncomfortable and like not able to continue the conversation in a normal manner because it can just, it elicits an emotional response from mm-hmm. the other person, which I actually was just pulling up some research about like why we cry. And this article from Psychology Today says that crying out of like emotion is uniquely human. So some animals will shed tears, but it's not because of like sadness. And they said part of that is probably because of the interpersonal dynamic of relationships. Like if you a human are going through something, you crying will like elicit a similar emotional response mm-hmm. from the person you're with, which is
it's
why
really
sometimes like if you cry, maybe that'll make the person you're talking, like especially if it's like your mom or something. My mom often cries when I cry
mm-hmm.
because it's the point of crying isn't just for you. It's because if you're with another person,
right.
it's supposed to show them like, hey, I need you to support me.
Yeah.
So I don't, that's what I'm saying. I don't necessarily blame the other person if they're just made a little uncomfortable, but I do think it's something like society and we individuals, I think I want to work on it a little bit because
mm-hmm.
I do think it can be a communication issue. But of course, I also think it's important that we know emotion isn't bad. Emotion isn't
totally.
Weakness. Crying isn't weakness. But sometimes it can make the conversation challenging, just like you were just saying
right.
about your family.
Yeah. And just that's an amazing point because going off of what that article said, I actually just had an epiphany moment where I realized like why I just like have been sitting here for the last like 2 minutes being like, why did I cry so much when I was younger? And I'm realizing that I have an older brother.
Yeah.
And a lot of the issues that happened when I was younger was that I didn't feel heard in my family. And that's where a lot of my anxiety stems from, is that I didn't feel heard because I had an older brother that demanded attention. He was going through high school, college apps, parties when I was like just a small kid in elementary who was behaving like
right.
it didn't demand the same attention. So tears were my way of getting heard in my family. So it's funny that article says like people cry also as a way to like get support from others, because I did it as a way to get attention from my family. And I thought that maybe if I started crying, people would start to listen to me. So it's interesting because now that I think about my relationship with tears, I think the reason I don't cry as much is because the people that I'm upset around or with, even though I'm talking about something that makes me upset, or if I'm in a fight with someone, like it might be with people or about things or people that I do feel hurt by. Like, if I'm with you and I'm talking about something going on in my life, I feel like you're already listening to me, because you've been, you and other friends have been so supportive to me, that I probably don't feel like I need to do something to demand their attention.
Yeah.
So that's probably why the tears don't flow as easily, because it's not like, it's almost like tears for me was like a learned behavior, were a learned behavior when I wanted to get attention from my parents. So I think that tears probably come a little bit easier for me when I don't feel like I'm being heard.
Yeah, that makes total sense to me. Yeah, I'm just like, so Sarah is considering like why she cries, and I was like thinking about why I cry.
I look classic, at Liz and she's staring at me like, are you okay?
Not, classic not listening. No, I was listening because you were saying like I needed to be heard, and that's what happened when you were a kid. And for those people who listen who go to therapy, you have probably experienced a lot of talking about your childhood, because you know, when you're a kid, you're like still being, you're still learning and your brain is developing, and the way that your brain develops has so much to do with how you're raised. And a lot of therapy as an adult is like unlearning some unhealthy things, and in order to do that, you have to understand like why you do the things that you do. And I was considering to myself, why do I like get so upset when Chris leaves for the weekend? And of course, there's the obvious thing of like, it's sad that my boyfriend doesn't live here. But what about it is so, it is so triggering to me that even when I know I'm going to see him and like I'm going to be okay and have a fine week and I actually enjoy my independence, like why do I get so worked up? And I realized that like it's probably largely in part because when I was a kid, I had to like say goodbye to my parents a lot because my parents were divorced. And like I used to get very upset and worked up. Like my Sunday scaries were always more than school the next day because I usually was going from one house to another.
Wow.
And so it's just interesting, like that used to make me really upset. And so I do think there's a lot of layers to crying that don't necessarily have to do with the situation directly in front of you. Like while I'm sure that maybe the conversation you were having with your family was triggering and hard, it just also brings up these conditioned biological things that like literally your brain learned to cry.
I cry so easily with my family.
Right. And I was saying earlier, I've seen Sarah cry maybe once, and we talk about emotional things literally every time we see each other. So it's just interesting that the way that like we navigate, the way that we respond.
I think my tears just have a lot to do with people I feel secure with versus people I don't.
Yeah.
And like, I love my parents. I know they love me. Like that's never been the issue. But there are some underlying like fears that come with my parents and like a lot of things that happened when I was younger that made me like question like, you know, again, like, are they going to leave me? Am I being heard? Like, do they love me?
Right.
Et cetera. So I think that the tears just don't flow as easily with people that I'm secure with, regardless of what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I think about like people that I'm scared of losing or people that I feel like I'm not getting the love that I need, that's when the tears just come so easily
that
for me.
That elicits like a crying response for you. And then there's obviously times when we're like, for me, I cry frequently like at work or about work because I feel triggered by negative feedback or just feeling overwhelmed. And, you know,
I mean, of course I've had, like, I sound like I only cry in certain situations, but like there have been times where I've been very anxious and sad about like work or like a situation that happened. And
so the other interesting thing that I'm reading is saying that there's the internal aspect of crying and like crying for catharsis, which is, I think, the most positive aspect of crying. And like, I don't know if other people who are listening do this, but you know, sometimes you want to like watch a sad movie because you want to cry or you want to like feel feels, you want to listen to a sad song. I feel that often. And I think that has a lot to do with anxiety because people who are anxious, at least for me, I don't always experience anxiety in a sad way. I experience it in a way that's like there's so much pent up emotion in my body that watching something sad,
it's tension.
Yeah, I need to like release it.
Totally. That makes complete sense. And I actually would say that anxiety is it's like very physical and it feels like you are building something up that you need to release. Like that's what it feels like physically. If someone's listening and they're like, I don't really know what anxiety feels like.
Yep.
It really feels like you're like have this built up tension and you just need a release for it.
Yes. So I think that crying can be very helpful for people who have anxiety. And I don't think that it's always bad. I know we started the episode by talking about the social dynamic of crying and how it can like negatively affect conversations. But I do think that there's so much good.
I think it's really
important. I think
for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, it's just like that emotional release. And I also I got a lot closer with you and our friends because I'm like very vulnerable and like I cry completely. A lot. And I think that that's good. Like, I think
I agree.
It's this, the same reason that we cry in front of people because we're asking for comfort. It's also showing other people like, hi, I'm opening my doors up to you, mm-hmm. so that you feel comfortable maybe in the future or right now to like share that with me. Mm-hmm. So I do think that that's, whether it's like you're in your relationship with a significant other or with a friend, it can be, you know, a little scary to like cry in front of people for the first time, but it's also like, like it's a very quick and easy way, not easy, but it's
like break
it's
down
an
walls.
Obvious way to break down a wall, yeah. and like show vulnerability.
Totally.
I
part of the reason why I haven't cried as much in like recent years is probably because I cried so much when I was younger that I probably was told at one point or another, like, don't show this side to people because yeah. like people are going to think you're crazy, or like, don't cry, it shows weakness.
Right.
Like, that's probably the message that I was given at one point. And so I probably stopped because I was like, okay, like, Sarah, you need to like bottle this up. Or another reason is probably because I started going to therapy and started crying there.
Yeah.
So once I started crying in therapy and releasing all of this bottled up emotion there, I didn't feel like I needed to do it so much in other times, like with my friends. And I think it's really important to be vulnerable with your friends. But I think that, I don't know, I was probably, there's probably a handful of reasons why I don't cry as much, but I think it's really important. And just today, I had a good cry today, and like, I feel so much better.
Yeah.
Like, I wish that I cried more with you guys because I don't know, it makes me feel really good. And it's like a really great release, and it feels like you've had things bottled up and that you're just like letting go of some things. And even if nothing's resolved, even if you cry but nothing changes, the feeling that you get from releasing the emotion makes you feel like something has been resolved. And that is a great feeling.
It's a great feeling. I'm going to reference this article a little bit because I like, hopefully people enjoy like the numbers a little bit and like the science behind crying. But this really interesting experiment was conducted in 2015, which is like, surveyors asked about their mood before watching a sad movie. They watched a sad movie and then they immediately reported feeling like terrible. That's how you feel after yeah. you watch a sad movie. Like, you just feel like the pits.
But it's like, why do people watch them?
Right. And then it said they asked them 20 minutes after watching the movie and their mood was at baseline of when they, before they started, and 90 minutes later, their mood was elevated above baseline.
No way.
Yeah. So I do think that there's like an element of catharsis that happens. It's just interesting because I think that there's a really important part of crying that's just catharsis, and I don't think that we would have, like, why, how else would we let out, you know, our sadness if we didn't cry?
There must be like science to actually releasing tears and like what that does for you.
Yeah,
like, I don't know it, but there must be science.
Can I summarize the Shandy story like quickly about the Holocaust? Do you remember it?
I don't remember.
I'm going to like butcher it, but Sarah and I, as we've mentioned, go to a Torah study with someone who is the granddaughter of a Holocaust survivor.
A very well-known Holocaust survivor
named Esther Youngrace. And she, you know, her whole life reflected on Judaism and the Holocaust and like how we can find hope, even though she went through like truly the worst of the worst.
Yeah.
And, basically, her story talked about tears and the importance of tears in Judaism yeah. and in spirituality, and how, of course, there's like a biological reason, but there's also a spiritual and emotional reason. And I think basically the summary of the story, so important, and I'm like giving two sentences, was that her grandfather, who raised her in the camp, would cry constantly because he was going through such tremendous pain and like the worst torture that any human can go through. But each tear that he shed was representative of the children to come and the generations to come. And like his pain would bring about generations of Jews with a renewed faith because they had seen like the worst pain in the world. And so his tears were not in vain. And so I love that spiritual reason behind crying. I also think there was like, I don't know, there was something about maybe Sarah or Rebecca crying and her tears yeah. being shed for the next generation and for the generations to come. Mm-hmm. Like how the pain of your ancestors, and it's true, like even in like when we think about our family, like think of maybe the struggles that your parents had moving mm-hmm. to America, and how like their tears and their hardship we're building something better for you. And I mm-hmm. think we can consider that in an individual way. How can my personal tears and like this moment when I'm crying actually like propel me into something better? Mm-hmm. Because I think it's like
totally
you releasing that pain will like be building a stronger foundation for you, whether it be like in the small things like at work, even just to get through the day, mm-hmm. or like the pain you might feel of there's women who struggle with fertility and that can be so much pain. And like that hardship will make you stronger.
Right.
So I don't know. It's just like there's that really amazing story that we learned. And I think it goes to show like why crying is important. Shandy mm-hmm. talks about that a lot, which I really
she does.
I really
she like. Says in a spiritual way that crying is like the gates to heaven. And you're like, oh, it opens up the doors so that you have a closer relationship to God. But right. that's very spiritual and not everyone believes in that. But it was very inspiring to hear a different take on tears and how important they can be. And I think that it's like once you cry, you're finally letting out that final bit of emotion that you needed to like look head on at what's yeah. going on. And like, I think it all comes down to like bottling up emotion is the easier route because, you know, we don't always feel like we can express how we feel. Our society hasn't really made it very easy to express how you feel.
Yeah.
Basically, part of the reason I was crying earlier today was because I was telling my mom how frustrated I was that it took until now to talk about mental health. Mm-hmm. And it was just like very frustrating. And I started crying and I was like, why has no one ever spoken about this stuff before? Like, this is why there's been an endless cycle of the same patterns.
Yeah, that's like this. I mean, my dad always says like, don't cry, don't cry. And he's not saying that because he's demanding that I don't cry. But the generation before us is like, you don't show that you cry.
It's like, if you cried, you were considered quote unquote crazy. Or yeah. if you cried, you were seen as weak. And it was like, I'm just glad that we're changing that now. Because now that we're finally releasing the emotion, I feel like we can finally take a step forward. That's yeah. what I'm trying to yeah. say is like, I feel like we've been stuck in the same place for so many years because of bottled up emotion mm-hmm. and because people were not allowed to talk about how they felt. And so we weren't progressing.
Right.
Like it feels like now that we're finally letting out the tears and like being open about being vulnerable, we can finally like it's that final step that we needed to take to see the light at the end of the tunnel and the hope because we're talking about it and we're releasing it. And we're yeah. like, it feels like we just took a breath of fresh air and we're like, finally, like now I can take a step forward and look at what's really happening and look and face my issues head on. Because up until now, it's just felt like everyone's just suppressed and avoided.
Yeah.
And the issues have never been solved or, you know, we've never really worked through mental health before because it wasn't talked about. And now that it's being talked about, I'm like, oh, okay, like we can talk about this and we can move forward because yeah. we're crying. And we're releasing and it feels really, really good. And I think a lot of people talk about like breakthroughs that happen in therapy. Like once you finally let your walls down and you finally let out that first cry, like it's like your therapist kind of takes a breath and she's like a sigh of relief. And she's like, okay, like now we can go somewhere, you know? Yeah,
completely.
So I think crying is really great.
One thing my therapist always says when she can see like my eyes welling up is, she says like that this is bringing up emotion for you. And that's such a good example of why crying is important because especially in therapy, but even in interpersonal relationships, it's a signal to the person like, what is this bringing up that we can mm-hmm. now bring to the surface and work on? Mm-hmm. So I really do like that. And that's why I think crying is good, especially in therapy, because it demands that the therapist is kind of like, what's going on here yeah. that we can kind of address, whether it's good or bad. I'll talk about one time that I cried in therapy this week was a good thing because we were talking about my personal journey with like what I'm going to do with my life and how to make this newfound interest I have with talking more about mental health or even like showing fashion and stuff on Instagram. Like, is that something that I can make a viable career? And she was like, well, I encourage you to think about the ways that you've already done that, like that you've already derived success from that in your life. And I was reflecting on someone DM'd me. Well, if I don't know if people who listen follow me on Instagram, and if you do, I like post stories morning and night during the week that are supposed to be like just messages mm-hmm. that are reassuring to me and maybe reassuring to some of the people who see them. And someone DM'd me like 3 days ago. Sorry, someone DM'd me like a week before therapy basically saying, like, I want you to know that I share these with my daughters every day, like wow. in our group chat. And that was really touching to me. And I was reflecting about it to my therapist and saying, I think like so much of my vulnerability and like my mental health journey has been related to my mom and like her mental health journey. And so it was incredibly touching to me that without my even knowing it, like the words that I was saying that I've learned about through me and through my mom, like were touching another mother and daughter mm-hmm. and daughters. And so that was like really important and cathartic. And it just like, it doesn't always have to be like a sad and depressed cry. It was kind of like a cathartic, like really cathartic and a realization cry. Like, look at this beautiful thing that's happened to me. Mm-hmm. Like I don't cry happy tears a lot, but like when I do, you know, it's real. Mm-hmm. So I always like appreciate when that happens because I think it's just such a beautiful like signal of, I don't know, like emotion that we're comfortable sharing. Mm-hmm. I think that's the bottom line about crying is like being comfortable sharing, or if you're crying alone, why are you crying? Why is that important to you? Mm-hmm. Why is it important enough that you're rolling right. up and crying about it? I don't know.
No, yeah. And crying can really help one person understand another person better.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So this other article that I pulled up from time.com talks about how the tears that we shed, like when we're chopping onions, or say if your eyes are open wide and something gets in them and you're crying mm-hmm. to get something out or because of a chemical, those actual tears are chemically different than the tears you shed when you're emotional. And they said that the tears that we cry when we're emotional are more viscous. They have more protein in them because they're made to stick on our face longer so that other people can see them.
No way.
Which I find really interesting. And that definitely goes along with the theory that crying is very social and supposed to like signal to other people that something's going on.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's really, I love learning about those types of things because I think biology and like emotion aren't mutually exclusive, and like being able to learn why
for sure
certain things you know chemically are the way that they are can help us to understand more about like what purpose crying serves. So that's pretty interesting. It seems like there's a lot of research, but it's hard to like mimic tears that happen in the real world, because in order to get people to cry and then ask them about it, you have to do like inherently superficial things, so it can mm-hmm. be like harder for scientists to make determinations about it. But all of that being said, I think we've come to a couple conclusions, which is like, one, crying can make situations challenging. And so I think that it's good to work on like, why am I crying? How can I channel my emotions in a way that's effective? But also, how do we as a society accept crying and that it's good and that it doesn't make someone weak?
Mm-hmm.
I think another thing we learned is like, crying can be a conditioned response. And maybe something to talk about in therapy. Like when I'm talking, like Sarah is talking about when she talks to her family, it can elicit crying, even if you're like, I'm mm-hmm. not actually like that upset. I know logically it's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. It can bring up some tears. What are other things? Oh, like that it's a sign of vulnerability, which can help you to connect with other people, mm-hmm. which is great. So I encourage you, like if you're yeah. a crier, I don't know. Like,
yeah. And I think I would encourage anyone who maybe doesn't cry, like, maybe to practice. I don't know if there's a way to like practice crying. Delve deeper into what does make you emotional and see if there's something that needs to be released.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of times I think we are like, oh, I don't need to cry. Maybe because something is so pushed away that yeah. like we don't even know it's there. And that can really contribute to like everyday anxiety that we don't even know you know what I mean?
Yes. And I think if it's really challenging for you to...
Sometimes on this podcast, I feel like I can't speak English.
That's okay. I think sometimes like when you're forced to talk, it's like when you're supposed to not talk.
I could talk for days yeah. when we're not recording. And then we start recording and I'm like...
You're like, it's like... You know, the
TikTok. Skibberdor Tavern. What is it?
Rackadax Gavern.
That's literally me on this pod. But I hope that y'all understand what I'm saying.
Yeah. I think you were reflecting on... like people who maybe can't cry, and that's okay. Like not everyone has to cry at everything. Like I probably cry 3 times a day.
Like there's an episode of Friends where Chandler is like, I don't cry, I don't cry, I don't cry. And then I forget what he does, but I think he watches a movie that makes him cry. And he was like, I just opened the gates to like, and then he cries from about like everything.
Yeah.
And so it's funny, but it might be a sign that like he needed to like dig into to what he was like holding, suppressing. And then once he released it again, like I was saying earlier, like it's a release,
right?
And then you're suddenly able to like be more connected to your emotion and understand yourself better.
Agreed.
You know? And I think that brings up an interesting point, because we don't necessarily have to dig into like our own struggles to cry and let out emotion. Like, that's one of the beauties of watching a sad movie, watching mm-hmm. cathartic videos. Like, one of my favorite types of videos is when soldiers come home or like surprise their kids, and that's happy.
I cry, but it always makes me cry.
And I think that that's a universally loved thing, because it's like a happy thing that brings up, it lets out tears,
mm-hmm.
and it kind of you know, kills two birds with one stone, because it's like we're watching something happy and celebrating, but we're also able to release emotion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would encourage people to watch them if you're able to, because they can just be like so happy. I love when people like they surprise their kids and stuff. It's just really special.
You should have seen me. This is completely different from those videos, but you should have seen me at my brother's wedding. I cried the whole time.
Really?
From start to finish. My dad looked at me and said, stop. Because I couldn't stop. My makeup was all over my face.
Oh my God. That is great, but also gives me anxiety, because how am I supposed to ever get married?
No, you have to wear like waterproof everything.
I need my makeup person to like be there the whole time.
Like, my makeup was fine, thank God, but like, I cried the whole time. Like, I couldn't believe that my brother was getting married, and it was so emotional. And like, again, that's another example. Like, I wasn't sad.
Yeah.
It was just emotional. Like, sometimes you're not even happy, you're not even sad. It's just emotional. And like, I tend to always cry at weddings, and it has really nothing to do with my own like fear that I'm never going to get married. It doesn't.
No,
it's
I know.
More like I'm like emotional.
Because it's like a beautiful thing. And I think me and you are rare, I think, in the sense that we really enjoy life's moments where we can connect with people on a really deep level.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are reluctant to do that, and I don't like that. And weddings are the occasion where everyone is like, actually, we're all here to celebrate like the greater purpose of life,
yeah,
and to celebrate love. And that brings up so much emotion for me and for you, it sounds like, because you're like, oh my God, life is so much more than these like daily dumb things that I experience.
Right.
And
now it's like everyone, two people coming together.
Right. And they love each other and they want to like spend the rest of their lives with each other and build a family. And like, that's the most important thing, not necessarily getting married, but like just knowing that people and relationships are the most important thing in life. And like having like a room of people together to celebrate that is like the most special emotional thing ever.
Right.
So, you know, God willing, we get to go to a lot of fun, whether it's weddings, people having babies, people like, you know, making new friends. Like we get to have a lot of that in 2020 and mm-hmm. in the years to come. So
also, you know what makes me cry? In 2014, there was a lot going on in the state of Israel, and it was just a really rough situation over there. And I have a lot of family in Israel, and there were a lot of videos going around on YouTube of people in like hiding from bombs. They were in bomb shelters, and they were like jumping and singing songs together and dancing in the bomb shelter. And that was a huge representation of like celebrating life as opposed to giving into fear. And that like makes me cry, because I was just like, first of all, I would be terrified. I don't know how these people are so brave to be singing and jumping together when they're hiding from a bomb. But also just to see other people coming together and supporting one another in such a hard situation just made me emotional.
Yeah.
And I just love to see it, you know? So I really do cry, I promise. I just haven't shown you much of it.
Oh, that's, I believe you. You don't have to either, but I think it's good to examine why we do, when we do, and how we can like utilize it to our advantage. You know what I mean?
Even like from this episode, I feel like I've been able to really like internalize why I cry, why I don't cry, why I've cried in the past, and like where my tears come from and like what triggers tears for me.
Yeah.
And so even thinking through my own experiences in that way has been really helpful for me. So that's another reason of why I love doing this podcast, is because our listeners are literally listening to us analyze our own selves in live time, like in real time. And it's cool. Like, I clearly, Liz and I are still figuring our own selves out. We're still learning about ourselves every day. But I think it's important to take a step back and be like, okay, like, what's my relationship with tears, and what's my relationship with crying? And, you know, I think it's a good thing to look at and understand. It helps you understand yourself better, and it helps you understand like what types of things make you more emotional and why.
Agreed. I want to shout out my mom if she's listening, because my mom cries a lot, and it's been like a source of trouble for us, because sometimes like when you're talking to your mom, if when I see my mom cry, it makes me cry. So that can like be really hard to carry on a normal conversation when we're both crying. But like, I actually want to commend her, because Sarah and I have both reflected on how like the generation before us like really shuts down crying. And even my dad, who I love, and like he's learned a lot about his own emotional vulnerability, will often be like, don't cry. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm proud that like my mom, even though sometimes like it can be a source of tension, does cry, because it really opened the door for me to experience vulnerability. And I think because of that, I've been able to, you know, even on this podcast, like open up the floor for really tough conversations. So I do think that idea that we were talking about earlier about like how the generations past cry, like for future generations, can be both metaphorical and literal. Like my mom really was emotionally raw with me a lot. And I think that while that can like be challenging sometimes, it's really important. And I think the bottom line of like what we're trying to talk about here, whether it's about crying, experiencing anxiety, or like talking about it, is we just want people to show more, yeah, and like talk more
and feel more
and feel more. And like crying, like you're allowed is that.
To feel.
Yeah,
I think you're so right. Like that is exactly what we want to do with this episode. It like all ties into the entire podcast, is that like if we can encourage other people to feel their feels a little bit more and know that it's completely okay to let out tears and release the emotion and like know that you're not alone in that, like, yeah, that's our whole goal here. So I think crying ties really well into our whole mission of like release it, you know, like you're allowed to and you're encouraged to and it's okay. And but I just think it all ties into our whole mission of just like, you're not alone and it's okay to release emotion. In fact, it's encouraged, because that's going to help you take that next step into understanding yourself a little bit better. And if we all understand ourselves a little bit better, then we can understand others, and then human connection and relationships can improve because we understand one another and we understand ourselves. So
completely.
So Liz and I are just trying to change the world here.
We're just like one tier at a time.
One tier at a time.
If you listen to the episode, you should DM us or comment on the post if you feel comfortable telling us like maybe something that makes you cry. And mm-hmm. like, I just think that that's the perfect way to show vulnerability, whether you totally. Want to do it privately, like in DM to us.
Yeah.
We always respond. Or if you want to like show it and comment and be like, I cried this week because I had a really tough work day. I cried this week because I got a promotion and I'm so happy. Mm-hmm. Like,
And maybe this week I'll do some research on tears and maybe post some things.
Yeah.
Or we'll do some research.
Yeah, we can post some of the stuff that we learned about in those articles. But thank you all for listening.
Thank you so much.
For letting us talk about crying. you can follow us on Instagram at It's Fine, I'm Fine Pod. You can follow me at Liz Height.
You can follow me at Sarah L. Sassone. That's N like Nancy.
We love you.
We love you. Thank you so much for listening. And please don't forget to tell your friends, subscribe, review us on Apple Podcasts, please. It's really helpful. And yeah.
So. Like our memes. Share our memes.
Oh, share our memes.
We've been repost. Memeing up a storm.
We've been tweeting.
We've been tweeting. I've been tweeting.
I've been tweeting. no, please reshare. Follow us on Twitter at It's Fine, I'm Fine, PD. Because on Twitter there wasn't enough room in the name for it to be pod, so I had to make it PD, or we had to make it PD. But please follow us on Twitter, because we are trying to be funny.
We're trying to be funny. We really are. I will commend us for saying like we're the only people doing this, truly.
I have looked up the hashtag anxiety a billion times on Twitter, and I don't see anything good out there about it.
Yep.
Like, I see psychiatrists saying things that I don't really understand. And then I see people being like, what is this anxiety? And that's it. And I'm like, okay, I don't relate to any of this. I don't enjoy any of this. It's not funny. I don't feel related to. So we are trying to do exactly that.
We're just trailblazing along. We love you.
We've been trailblazing.
We love you. With that.
It's fine. I'm fine.
It's fine. I'm fine.
That was a real sigh that I just did, by the way.
I know. I noticed.
High five.
Sorry, my clams are handy. My clams are handy. My hands are clammy.
Bye.